Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Teaching Our Children to Read by Bill Honick, is a professional guide to early literacy instruction that argues for a research-based, comprehensive reading program. Written for educators, school leaders, policymakers, and engaged parents, the book addresses a long-running debate in reading education by rejecting simplistic either-or positions. Honick presents reading instruction as a coordinated effort that must include explicit teaching of foundational skills, strong classroom practice, suitable materials, and broader institutional support. Public descriptions of the book consistently emphasize its balanced approach, combining phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary, comprehension, literature, writing, and assessment. Rather than treating reading as a process children simply absorb on their own, the book stresses that skilled instruction is essential, especially in the earliest grades. Its purpose is practical as well as argumentative to help schools organize effective reading programs from preschool through upper elementary years and to prevent reading failure. Before it becomes entrenched, that combination of research grounding and implementation focus is central to the book's reputation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a balanced approach beyond the phonics versus whole language divide. One of the book's most important contributions is its insistence that reading instruction should not be framed as a battle between phonics and whole language. Honick argues for a balanced and comprehensive approach in which foundational skills are taught directly, while students are also immersed in meaningful reading and writing. This position reflects a practical understanding of literacy development. Children need to learn how print works, how sounds map onto letters, and how words can be decoded. But they also need language-rich classrooms, access to literature, and opportunities to read for meaning. The book is widely described as showing how skills should be organized, taught, and integrated into the broader language arts program. That integration matters because the goal is not mechanical word calling but fluent, thoughtful reading. Honick's approach, therefore, links technical instruction to larger literacy outcomes, such as comprehension, vocabulary growth, and engagement with texts. By refusing false choices, the book offers a framework that is both more realistic and more useful than polarized models. It supports the idea that effective programs blend direct instruction with authentic literacy experiences, rather than sacrificing one for the other. Secondly, now, explicit and systematic instruction in early reading skills. A central theme of the book is that beginning readers benefit from explicit and systematic instruction in core skills. Public summaries of the text repeatedly point to phonemic awareness, phonics, decoding, and related foundational abilities as indispensable elements of successful reading instruction. Honick draws on educational research to argue that these skills should be taught deliberately, especially in preschool, kindergarten, and first grade. The book challenges the notion that children naturally acquire reading in the same way they acquire spoken language. Instead, it treats reading as a learned system that most students master best when instruction is sequenced and clear. This emphasis is especially important for preventing early reading difficulty. The book highlights the need for students to gain control over beginning decoding early enough to move into more fluent reading and fuller comprehension as texts become harder. It also connects skill instruction to wider literacy development, showing that teaching sound-symbol relationships is not an isolated drill, but part of helping children access language in print. In this way, the book positions systematic skill teaching as a gateway to later independence, not as an end in itself. Thirdly, reading as an integrated literacy system. Another major topic in the book is the integration of reading with spelling, writing, speaking, vocabulary, and comprehension. Honick does not present literacy as a set of isolated compartments. Instead, the available descriptions of the book show that it treats the language arts as interconnected processes that reinforce one another. This is important because children do not become skilled readers solely by practicing one narrow ability. They build literacy through a combination of decoding, language development, writing about ideas, discussing texts, and expanding word knowledge. The book's chapter structure, as described in Eric records, includes attention to spelling and beginning writing, vocabulary, comprehension and assessment, and writing and speaking. That breadth helps explain why the program is described as comprehensive. It is not limited to early phonics lessons, even though those are emphasized. Rather, Honick argues that foundational skills should support entry into broader literacy work. Writing can strengthen awareness of sounds and word patterns. Oral language can deepen understanding of texts. Vocabulary and comprehension instruction help students move beyond accurate reading toward meaningful reading. The book, therefore, offers a whole program perspective in which each component contributes to students becoming fluent readers who can understand and use what they read. Fourthly, the importance of materials, practice, and developmental sequencing. The book gives sustained attention to how a reading program is actually built in classrooms. including the choice of materials and the sequence of instruction across grade levels. Public source material associated with the book refers to decodable texts, reading materials, classroom activities, and a curriculum timeline extending from preschool through fifth grade. These details suggest that Hanig is concerned not only with theory but with whether the daily tools of instruction match what children are being taught. If students are learning sound symbol correspondences and decoding strategies, they need opportunities to practice them in texts that are manageable and instructionally aligned. At the same time, they also need exposure to rich literature and informational text, so reading does not become narrow or artificial. The developmental sequence matters because the demands of literacy change as children progress through school. Early instruction must establish basic recognition and decoding, while later instruction must support fluency, comprehension, vocabulary, and access to more complex content. By laying out instruction across stages rather than offering generic advice, the book addresses a common weakness in education writing. It helps readers think programmatically about how specific practices, materials, and expectations should evolve as students grow. Lastly, teacher preparation and school leadership as conditions for success, Hanig presents effective reading instruction as more than the work of individual teachers acting alone. A recurring idea in the descriptions of the book is that strong literacy outcomes depend on teacher training, careful adoption of materials, and school leadership. This system's perspective distinguishes the book from narrower manuals focused only on classroom techniques. Even the best research-based practices will not be implemented well if teachers are not prepared to use them, or if schools send mixed signals about instructional priorities. The book is therefore aimed not just at classroom educators, but also at administrators, policymakers, literacy leaders, and parents concerned with how schools organize reading programs. This broader audience reflects one of its main claims: consistency and support matter. A school that wants students to become successful readers needs shared expectations, coherent curriculum decisions, and ongoing professional development. Leadership is especially important in maintaining fidelity to a comprehensive program rather than allowing instruction to fragment into disconnected activities or ideological disputes. By linking classroom practice to institutional conditions, the book expands the discussion of reading beyond method alone. It suggests that literacy improvement is a collective responsibility requiring informed decision-making at every level of the school system. In conclusion, teaching our children to read is best suited to readers who want a practical but research-aware account of how strong reading instruction should be organized. Classroom teachers will find its value in the way it connects foundational skills to broader literacy goals. School leaders and literacy coaches can use its framework to think about curriculum, professional development, and coherence across grade levels. Parents and policymakers can also benefit because the book explains why successful reading instruction depends on both classroom practice and institutional support. One of the book's practical strengths is that it does not stop at abstract principles. It treats reading achievement as the result of aligned teaching, appropriate materials, developmental sequencing, and sustained attention to implementation. Intellectually, it is useful because it offers a measured alternative to polarized debates that have long shaped public discussion of reading. Rather than endorsing a narrow formula, it argues for a comprehensive program in which explicit skill instruction works alongside literature, writing, vocabulary, and comprehension. That is why the book stands out in its category. Many books on reading instruction defend a single camp. Hanig's book is more distinctive for presenting literacy education as a structured system that must be both evidence-based and workable in real schools. If you would like to support Bill Hanig, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.